This is Aspen Public Radio News. I'm Eleanor Bennett. Beavers are an integral part of our local ecosystem. They create wetland habitat, engineer fire breaks, and replenish groundwater. And some say these large aquatic rodents could even help us solve the human-caused climate crisis. But there are far less of them than there used to be. I talked with two self-proclaimed beaver believers who have been researching ways to restore more beavers and manage existing populations in places like the Roaring Fork Valley. Sarah Marshall is an ecohydrologist with the Colorado Natural Heritage Program at Colorado State University. She's spent the last several years working with a group of scientists on a wetland study in the Roaring Fork River watershed, and she's part of a team that's launching a new beaver mapping project across the state. Ben Goldfarb is the author of the book Eager, The Surprising Secret Life of Beavers and Why They Matter. He's giving a book talk in Carbondale tonight and lives in Buena Vista with his wife, Elise, and their dog, Kit, which is, of course, what you call a young beaver. So, Ben, you start your book by describing the history of beavers in North America. Can you tell us what happened in the early 1800s and why there are just a fraction of the number of beavers that there were then?
Yeah. So I think the important thing to remember about beavers is that these were once just incomprehensibly abundant, ubiquitous animals, right? We don't know exactly how many beavers lived in North America before European colonization, but the best guess is that there were several hundred million of them. So today, you know, there are, let's say, 10 to 15 million. You know, we don't really know. So, right, so they're not an endangered species or anything, but there are still just a tiny fraction of the number of beavers alive today as there were at one point. And we know that all of those beavers would have created this incredibly lush, green, blue, wetland-covered continent. So when hundreds of millions of beavers were trapped out to make hundreds of millions of hats in the 17th, 18th, and 19th century, we lost so many of those beaver-created habitats. You know, wetlands dried up, streams eroded as they lost all of their beaver dams, which act like speed bumps, slowing the water down and spreading it onto the floodplain to create those wetlands. So there's no question that the loss of beavers, you know, especially in the 19th century in Colorado, was this ecological disaster on par with overgrazing or logging or mining or any other environmental issue that you care to name.
You touched on this a little bit already, but I'm wondering, why is it so important to restore these, as you call them, aquatic rodents to our local ecosystems?
Yeah, you know, beavers provide all of these wonderful ecological benefits and services, both for other species and for us as humans. You know, the ponds and wetlands they create provide incredible habitat for cutthroat trout and moose and waterfowl and boreal toads and all kinds of critters. And for us, you know, beavers are creating fire breaks on the landscape. You know, they're improving our water quality by capturing pollution. They're storing water in the face of drought and climate change. So they're, you know, building thousands of little reservoirs up in the high country that's holding on water deep into the summer. They're sequestering lots of carbon. So, you know, less than being endangered by climate change, they're really incredible agents of climate adaptation, right? So they're just doing all of these fantastic things for us. And, you know, we certainly need more of them.
And Sarah, you've spent a lot of time trudging around the wetlands in the Roaring Fork watershed. What do we know about the beavers in our area?
Overall, I would say the Roaring Fork, it isn't quite as beaver dense as certain parts of the state that we've worked. And that may have a number of different underlying causes. Maybe there has been disease or other factors in the past that have led to a smaller population. But Colorado has actually never had a beaver population estimate. It'll be really interesting to track that over time. Now, beaver complexes, as Ben is probably intimately familiar with, they move around a lot. So something that I've wanted to do for years now is to find a better way to track that beaver activity. And that's kind of the first essential step to getting at some sense for a population in the state of Colorado or ideally larger areas. So there are a couple of ways that we can do that. And right now we're using a remote sensing approach where we're training two separate models to not only identify beaver ponds, but also to look at standing water and vegetated wetland area. And from there, we can start to track not only where beavers are active, but we can also look at a population estimate. It's pretty exciting to be getting so close to being able to do that, because it's so fundamental to understanding our water resources, our available habitats, our resiliency to climate change, so droughts and fires, and also just to track rare species that depend on those habitats.
And you've both done a lot of research about the different ways we can restore beavers. Do you think it's realistic for us to restore and relocate beavers, especially in places like our valley where we have predators, mountain lions, bears, et cetera?
Yeah, certainly. I think it's absolutely realistic to restore these populations. You know, certainly beavers do get predated by all of the large carnivores that you mentioned, but, you know, they're also very resilient in the face of predation. And, you know, because again, they engineer their own habitat, right? They, by building dams and creating ponds, they're basically building their own shelter. So, you know, just last week, I went out to Idaho to report about some beaver restoration efforts there. And you know, in that instance, there was a rancher, this guy named Jay Wild, who's given some talks in Colorado. And he, you know, he remembered from his childhood, he used to have this perennial stream that ran through his property. And now the stream had gone dry and he wasn't really sure, you know, what was going on there. Why did the stream go dry? And then he remembered, oh yeah, there used to be beavers in this stream. So he, you know, with the help of some scientists from Utah State University, reintroduced a couple of colonies of beavers. And, you know, fast forward 6 or 7 years, and, you know, those two colonies of beavers and their offspring have built more than 200 dams on his property and kind of the adjacent Forest Service allotment that he grazes. And he's getting 40 extra days of water in his creek as a result of that. So it's just, you know, an incredible story of adaptation and sort of ecological recovery made possible by just a handful of rodents. Pretty impressive, I think. And, you know, there's no reason that sort of thing can't happen in streams all over Colorado and the entire Mountain West.
And Sarah, from your time in the Roaring Fork watershed, do you think people here are ready to coexist with beavers?
We need beavers so much in these watersheds. I mean, drought alone is a very scary thing, whether you're a rancher with cows or someone living in an urban area. Fire is a scary thing in Colorado, as we all know. And I think that as we, again, really increasingly realize the benefits, and we also realize some really important strategies for coexisting with beavers, you know, and figuring out ways to have them not flood highways that, you know, we've built in their habitat in the mountains, and figuring out ways to just, again, reduce those conflicts and really think about kind of this connectivity of streams that needs to happen that benefits a whole variety of wildlife and us as well is really important. So I think we do need to shift kind of how we perceive our watersheds and how beavers fit into that framework. But I absolutely think there's great potential to do a good job at coexisting.
That was ecohydrologist Sarah Marshall and writer Ben Goldfarb. Goldfarb will be talking about his book, Eager, The Surprising Secret Life of Beavers and Why They Matter, tonight at the 3rd Street Center in Carbondale. He'll be signing books at 5:30 and giving a talk at 6. This is Aspen Public Radio News.